The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
Welcome into the latest edition of ESPN FC. I'm Dan Thomas, joined in the studio today by Ali Moreno. We also welcome to the program Stevie Nicol, Don Hutchinson, and Julianne Laurent. And it's Jules that we start with the news breaking in the UK. Sky Sports reporting, Jules, that Harry Kane has told Spurs he wants to leave in the summer.
That's right, Dan. It's been confirmed now by people at the club that Harry Kane has not officially handed a transfer request, but made Daniel Levy aware that he wanted to leave this summer, that he was hoping that the club would let him go, that it could be a quick transfer, hopefully being all done before the start of the Euros, which is obviously very ambitious and very optimistic. But we had seen signs before in what Harry Kane was saying in certain interviews, saying, let's see where I am next season, let's see at the end of the season what I'm going to do next. Those kind of signs that were not there maybe before. I think he's lost patience in waiting for trophies at Spurs, maybe not feeling that for everything that he's given to the club, that the club has given him back teams around him that could go and win and challenge for trophies, challenge for the Premier League titles and others. He came very close many times, lost all those finals, and maybe now he felt that it was better for him to move away from Spurs and continue his career somewhere else.
Let's talk money. Let's talk contract, Jules. How much is he going to cost and who can afford him?
So Harry Kane's got 3 years left on his current contract at Spurs. He turns 28 at the end of July. And the price is pretty straightforward. I think it's £150 million. This is what it is. The problem that Harry Kane and his agent will have is that right now Spurs don't want to sell to any other English clubs, no rival clubs. The only idea for them, if they were to let him go and if someone could pay that transfer fee, would be only to a foreign club. And again, abroad, there's not many clubs right now who can afford Harry Kane. PSG, probably one of them. I guess Bayern Munich, if they really wanted to, but not with Lewandowski in their team. Real Madrid, if they can get that money together, maybe, but why not wait for Erling Haaland, for example? Barcelona don't have the money for sure right now, so options are limited outside of the UK. And in the UK, we know that Manchester City, Manchester United and Chelsea have all made contacts with Harry Kane's agent, but there could be a problem if Spurs don't want to sell to them.
Wow, okay. A lot to take apart. Steve, let's start with the basics. Is this the right decision for Kane?
Absolutely. Yeah, he's not winning anything. Anything. Never mind major. You know, Premier Leagues and Champions League, nothing major. They might win an AFL Cup or something, or the Carabao, I should say. But I'm not being funny. I don't know how Harry Kane must have felt after his agent told them exactly what Julian just said, but it took the wind out of my sails. It's almost like, why are you bothering asking? You've just told everybody you want away, but it's just not really possible. Because I don't see who's going to have the money, so I'm sorry, Harry Kane might have made a big step in asking away.
Right.
But how is he supposed to leave Tottenham with a £150 million price tag at the end of a pandemic when nobody's got any money? I don't see how it's going to happen.
Yeah, the timing is clearly an issue on all of this. And just go back, Don, I'll go to you in a minute. Just go back to you, Jules. £150 million for any club is big anyway. But as Stevie rightly says, post-pandemic, have these clubs realistically got this sort of funds?
It's hard to tell for some of them. I mean, you know, a club like Manchester United has a lot of money. They've got money available. Of course, they've lost money like everybody else. But they might be able to find a way of getting that money together. They might have to sell players first. And same with City, maybe. Same with Chelsea. Same with PSG or Real Madrid or whoever else. And they might be able to put that money together. But Stevie is right. It's a hell of an amount of money for a player like who's 28. When you think, for example, just quickly, in this sort of number nine market, that Erling Haaland will cost 75 in a year time, and he's 7 years younger. So would you rather wait and spend less money on someone who will give you more years, or go and spend that money now on Harry Kane when you know it's going to be a long saga, when you know it's going to be difficult, when you know that Harry Kane's ankles are not dodgy, but not the strongest either? So there's also a bit of ifs there and there with Harry Kane, but it's an enormous amount of money, and that's why he's right. That's his value right now. So you can't even say, oh, that's too much. No. Let's go down to 80 or 75. That's not the case. You know, Harry Kane right now is worth that amount of money with 3 years left on his contract, and it's all good that he wants to leave. But again, I'm not sure who can pay that right now.
Who needs him the most, Don?
Well, Chelsea, Man United and Man City, but I see it being a Man City fit. I think City or United, if they're going to really go for him, I don't see him going to Chelsea. I do not see him making that move. I think he's too loyal to Tottenham to go to Chelsea. But I think, I don't agree it'll end up being 150. I don't think in this pandemic, in this market, it'll be 150 will be the number. I think it'll be far less than that. I think you're looking at about 120. But I think what Man City and what Man United are going to do in negotiations, they're going to have to offer some players. They're going to have to try and offer Tottenham two or three, you know, decent players to try and whittle it down to something like 90, because it's still a lot of money to pay, but it might not seem too bad if you're all of a sudden given Spurs two or three players and you're paying in and around 80, 90. I know it's ludicrous money, but in football terms, it's not for one of the very best in the world. So they're going to have to be creative.
But Don, is it not ignorant?
If you're honest with yourself, and Dan, if you think about this, Harry Kane's in an absolute nightmare position. You know, we're thinking, well, he's going to ask for a transfer because that's what he needs, that's what he deserves. You know, Jules is telling us he ain't going to any teams in England, and yet we're sitting here talking about, well, Man City can do this and United can do that. So if he's not allowed to go to any of those teams...
But he will.
And Erling Haaland, as you said, is available for 70 million, 75 million. He's not going to Europe either. He's going to be starting the season the most unhappiest centre forward in the club's history, because he ain't going anywhere. And everybody's going to be questioning him. Oh, is his heart in it? We know he wants away. I mean, he's in an absolutely horrible position. How unlucky is he?
He's not that unlucky. I mean, from what I hear, he had the conversation last summer to try and leave, and Jose persuaded him to stay for a year because Jose thought he could get Tottenham a trophy. So he's been loyal. He stayed the extra year. We've seen many players stay one more year because you try and get sucked into the club and maybe sucked into a new manager. But he's not unlucky when he's going to go for 120 million quid and he's going to fill his boots either Man City or Man United.
But is he? That's what I'm saying.
Of course he is.
That's what I'm saying, is he?
He's going to go. Well, of course he is.
Daniel Levy is going to turn around and get 120 million from who? Can you please tell me who? Because if we're saying that he can't go to Chelsea, United, Liverpool or City, you please tell me who's going to do that when Erling Haaland's sitting there ready.
Yeah, but
Barcelona doesn't have the money. Jules is talking about Real Madrid might be able to scrape it up. Okay. PSG maybe has it, but do they? Because they've still got Mbappe, they've still got
Harry
Neymar.
Kane wants to stay.
I think Harry Kane's in this horrible spot.
So, Jules,
Harry Kane wants to stay in England.
Let's just focus on what Stevie says. Obviously, Spurs, in an ideal world, don't want to sell him to another Premier League club. However, if someone comes along with 150 million, they're going to take it.
Of course they are. And if Harry Kane has spoke to his agent and he's aware of one of the three clubs that we've just mentioned in England are really serious about taking him, Harry Kane knocks on the door to Daniel Levy and he says, I've given you unbelievable service, but however long Harry Kane's been at Tottenham, forever, I've been incredibly loyal, I've scored all the goals, I've tried my utmost, I want to go away from this football club. At the end of the day, Daniel Levy will have to sell him. He can't afford to try and get into a slanging match with Harry Kane and Harry Kane at the start of the season says, well, I'm not going to play. And then he's sitting on the bench. That's not going to happen. Harry Kane's not that type of person, I don't think. That's not in his makeup.
Right, let's...
But go on.
I just want to bring it into the studio. On Don's point, Manchester City, why bother? You've won the title without a striker. You're in the Champions League final without a striker.
Uh-huh.
150 million is a lot of money.
Uh-huh.
Is that really where you want your focus to be?
And guess what? 120 million, still a lot of money.
Yeah.
And you've proven that that is not a position that you need in order to win and win big time at the big level. Whether I think they need a striker or not, that's irrelevant. I would play with a striker always, but they don't. And Pep Guardiola doesn't. And he doesn't believe that they need a striker in order to win, and it's been proven to be correct. From the perspective of Harry Kane, there seems to be a sentimental connection between him and Spurs, right? And so perhaps, maybe, it's in the best interest of Harry Kane to not be in England, to not be in the Premier League. And if indeed he's looking elsewhere, and we're just assuming that he's looking elsewhere, this is just speculation, why not PSG? If this is, this seems to be a team that has the money, and it's Mbappe, Neymar, Kane, that's a lot to be excited about, and Pochettino, who you've already worked with. I'm just thinking that if you're looking for a way out and a pathway that does not include a Premier League team, that seems to be the most obvious choice.
So am I being naive here, Jules, if I'm talking about PSG as a brand? How much does Harry Kane actually move the needle?
So I think he would want to stay in England to start with. Okay. However, if that is not possible for many reasons that we discussed, PSG is very appealing for a few things. The first one, of course, is Mauricio Pochettino, who was a father figure to him, who he's the guy who started him, who gave him confidence, who said to him, don't worry if you don't score at the beginning, he will come. And once one comes, then all the rest it comes. And he owes a lot to Mauricio, and they were so close to the point that Harry Kane was close to tears when Mauricio left and was sacked. That is big. If Pochettino picks up the phone and says to Harry Kane, listen, we can do this deal. Come with me. Come to Paris. We will play in a very similar way to what we used to at Spurs. Of course, Ligue 1 is not as great to win than the Premier League. I get that. But Pochettino could be a difference-making if Kane is open to working with him again, which that he would. The second thing is, for a club like PSG, who is trying to convince Kylian Mbappe to stay at the club, you've extended Neymar already. What Kylian wants right now is assurances that you can stay competitive for seasons to come. So not by signing Danilo Pereira or Ander Herrera, although I like them, but by signing Harry Kane, you show Mbappe, listen, this is what we can do. We can make you play with maybe the best striker, one of the top three strikers in the world right now. And this is how serious we are about making a team around you that will help you win the Champions League, for example, or whatever. I don't know if they can financially, because if you keep Neymar and Mbappe, and on top of that, at Harry Kane with 150 million euros transfer fee plus easily around 400,000 a week or 350,000 a week in wages, that's certainly a lot of money for PSG. However, if they thought they could do Messi, I can't see why they might not be able to think that they can do Kane too, but it's still, again, it's still a long way, like for all the other clubs.
Right, let's do this quickly. Jules, where's he going to be at the start of the season?
Manchester City.
Don?
Well, PSG are absolutely dreaming if they think they get Harry Kane into French football. That's not going to happen, because he wants to break Alan Shearer's Premier League record. Man City.
Right, no time to... Right, Stevie?
Tottenham.
Ali Moreno.
Spurs, baby.
Spurs.
Spurs.
Wow. He's got a straight jacket on him.
If you want to find out how long Stevie's been married, Stevie might want to find out as well. Be sure to check out Extra Time over on our YouTube channel.
Did you know less than 10% of Americans own an e-bike? Here's why that should change. Studies show e-bike owners actually end up exercising more, plus getting outside more. If you're looking for a balanced lifestyle and everyday adventures, you need to check out Lectric e-bikes. They are the number one selling e-bike brand in America. Their bikes are typically foldable, pre-assembled, and have serious range up to 150 miles on some models. Check them out today at electricebikes.com and add some more adventure to your week. That's electricebikes.com.
Holy goly!
Hey!
Surely that's the best back page, isn't it? Of course, talking about Alisson's late winner. That's for you, Dad, talking about Alisson, of course, losing his father tragically earlier in the year. Alice Stunner, meanwhile, another back page in the UK. Ali's KO, the first goalkeeper in the history of Liverpool Football Club to score. Don, we talked about this a lot yesterday. I don't get bored of talking about it because it's so brilliant. Just take us through your reaction.
It was incredible. I was watching it live, Dan. It was just, you know, Liverpool played well in the game. They were creating chances. And then you see Alisson come up for the header and you think, surely it can't happen. He's unmarked. The technique for the header was just incredible. But it's the whole backstory, as you said, all the trauma that he's been through, you know, losing his dad a couple of months ago. The dressing room would have found it hard to try and deal with and try and console him all these months. And then, you know, he scores the winner. And then his interview afterwards was just perfect. You could see the emotion in him. He was nearly in tears and you felt for him. So I think when you want to restore some of your love in the game, you see moments like that and interviews like that, and it gives you loads of love back into the game. It was just an incredible achievement.
It's a good way of putting it, because we watch so many games, and obviously not complaining, but this season has just been like relentless game after. But then you see a moment like that, and it just makes you fall in love with the game once again, doesn't it?
The best thing that I can say about Alisson's goal is that his header would have been a great header had it been Robert Lewandowski.
Mm-hmm.
Had it been not an out striker, best striker in the world, that sort of header, we would have said, that's a great header.
Yep.
For Alisson to do it,
yep,
puts it on an entirely different level. What a great moment, and what a significant moment in terms of what it means for Liverpool.
Yes.
Some of these goalkeeper goals sometimes are meaningless. This one,
yep,
he makes a whole big difference in terms of where Liverpool are and what their intentions and possibilities of getting to the top four are.
It was a goal that I'm sure Chelsea and indeed Leicester fans did not appreciate maybe as much as everybody else, because it had significant influence in the race for the top four, with only two games remaining, according to the bookies. Liverpool, huge favourites to make it into the Champions League. They've got Burnley and then Crystal Palace on the final day of the season. Meanwhile, for Chelsea against Leicester, it is all about that game at Leicester on Tuesday, which will have a significant influence as to who will finish in the top four in England. Stevie, let's start with you and how, if any, the FA Cup will influence this game.
Well, regardless of whether it's an FA Cup, if two sides who know each other so well playing in the domestic league, and then you've got two sides who are battling for Champions League security, then it's very rare that one team wins back-to-back. And so the history books are against Leicester winning this game. The only thing I think that can get in the way of Chelsea is if Mr. Tuchel decides to be clever again and tries to rotate. You know, I think the fact that he rotated against Man City recently and won the game, I think that gave him a false sense of security. I've been saying all along, this time of the year, you play your best team. So I hope he plays his best team tomorrow. And I think that if he does, they'll win the game.
What's the front three, Don?
What, against Chelsea? I think you'll play Timo Werner and Havertz together again. They've been playing well
with
before
Mason Mount,
game.
Yeah?
Yeah, I think they've been playing well before this game. Or even Mason Mount a little bit deeper, and Christian Pulisic if he's fit. But those two, especially the two Germans, have been combining, you know, really well of late. And that was a classic case of Thomas Tuchel, you know, trying to tinker and trying to be a little bit clever and putting Reece James as a right-sided third centre-back and Azpilicueta as a right wing-back and not playing Chilwell and putting Alonso in. He spent more time worrying about Leicester and the pace of Jamie Vardy. That's why he played James. But if he's thinking of the problems that Leicester's going to cause him, imagine the problems that Man City might cause him in the Champions League final. So he's got to go strong now, because all of a sudden now, Chelsea might be in a position where they lose the Champions League final and they could actually miss out the top four.
Stevie, psychologically, from Leicester's point of view, such a big high, obviously, in the FA Cup and the manner in which it happened on Saturday and what means to the club, given that they never won that trophy before. How easy, then, is it to get yourself back up again from that high for another big game?
It completely depends on the preparation that the manager gives you and the players themselves. You know, we don't know Leicester's players, and they've got a lot of young guys as well.
Mm.
And we don't know whether they're capable of getting that emotion back again. You know, it's a big thing winning your first FA Cup final. And it's not a case of you go to bed and wake up the next day and get on with it. You know, it's hard, and pros can do that. So that would be my one worry, that Leicester can't actually completely put that to one side and then concentrate fully on Chelsea. And of course, no question, as I said, because because Chelsea lost that FA Cup final, they have the psychological edge, in my opinion, because they will just be fighting, spitting and tearing in front of them to win this game.
Ali, I imagine like the adrenaline pumping through Saturday night, can't sleep Saturday, Sunday, obviously reliving it, phone calls, everything. It's going to be impossible to forget what happened, impossible to put it aside. So are you just kind of running on adrenaline, if you like, for this game early on for Leicester, and that could run out pretty soon?
If you had a difficult time focusing for this match ahead of you, the goal by Alisson puts that focus right in the path, right in front of you once again, and it forces you to say, wait a minute. We just won. Great. Right. But now we're on the verge of collapsing like we did last year.
Okay. Can you do that, though? Can you?
Well, the question is not whether can you do that. You must.
Right.
You have no choice. But this is not an emotional issue just for Leicester. There's an emotional issue here for Chelsea as well. Because when Chelsea was not favorite, when Chelsea was supposed to be out of Champions League against Real Madrid, when Chelsea was supposed to lose to Manchester City, that's when they played their best.
Right.
That's when we saw the best version of Chelsea. Now that they were favorites in the FA Cup final against Leicester, now it wasn't the best version of Chelsea. And you look at what their season could have been, might have been, and is at the moment, and you're seeing the possibility of losing FA Cup final, being out of the top four, and potentially losing Champions League final. You think those players are not thinking about that?
Right.
You think that manager is not thinking about that? So the emotional component is not just for Leicester. It's for Chelsea as well.
How easy? Just going back to Leicester, I'm quite interested in to switch that switch.
In terms of what, Dan?
From winning the FA Cup to then sitting down, refocusing on another must-win game 72 hours afterwards?
Yeah, well, they'll be in a better place than Chelsea because they'll have the confidence knowing that they've just beat Chelsea. So they'll have that emotion. They'll have that confidence. They'll believe they can do it. I think both sets of players, staff, all the fans across the world will be looking over their shoulder because if my man maths are correct and Liverpool beat Burnley, it doesn't matter what the other two, Liverpool are going to go into fourth or third position. So one of them's going to drop out. But for Leicester, I think they go into this game with loads of confidence. The only worry is Johnny Evans will be missing. So unless Brendan Rodgers goes to a back four, he might even play Castagna. A little bit deeper into that back three and put Albrighton on the pitch. But they're still a good squad. They're a young squad, so they've got energy. It's not like they're an aging squad. I know Jamie Vardy's sort of getting on, but he's a sort of freak of nature where he can just run for fun, a couple of Red Bulls and a couple of coffees, and he's away. That's how he sort of malfunctions. That's what he's like. So I think they'll be fine. I think it just depends on the fine details. It depends really what Thomas Tuchel's going to do, but it's an even Stevens game. It's not like Chelsea are just going to turn up and beat Leicester. That's not going to happen. If they're going to beat them, they're going to have to work for it.
Let's get your prediction then, Don.
I'm going to go draw.
Stevie?
Chelsea got far too much experience over this Leicester side.
So you're going for?
Chelsea.
Give us a score, Stevie.
3-0.
Wow.
Okay. Ooh.
Hello.
Okay. Goal difference for Liverpool.
Wow. Mm. Ali?
Chelsea 2-1.
Really?
Well, Leicester still partying from Saturday night.
You think so? We'll, of course, be discussing this in great length on the next edition of the show, reflecting on Leicester against Chelsea in that big top four clash. We're driven by the search for better, but when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/FC. Just go to Indeed.com/FC right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on the podcast. Indeed.com/FC, terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed. The four places in the Champions League next season in Germany all set after this weekend's matches, still with one game remaining. Bayern Munich obviously done. Joined by Leipzig, Borussia Dortmund and Wolfsburg. Casey Keller with us, as is Archie Rintan. Casey, let's focus on Dortmund. They got it done and got it done early.
Well, they did. And if you go back 7-8 weeks ago when they lost 4-0 to Frankfurt, you would have thought that this was not possible. And the run they've put together at this stage to not only qualify for the Champions League, but to bring home the cup as well. You have to give Tezic a ton of credit. He turned things around at the right time. He got them playing together. It looked for a while like it was, you know, a club that was going in different directions. You know, Erling Haaland was flying all over Europe with his dad and his agent looking for next season's club. And yeah, it was all over the shop. But look, they got it together and they did the task at hand. And you got to give them a ton of credit.
Archie, I know you've developed a very special bond with Tezic, it seems, over the last few months.
Yeah, he gave us on ESPN his first ever long interview as Borussia Dortmund coach. And back then, he seemed a little bit nervous, I would say, as was understandable at the time, because they just lost to Bayer Leverkusen and Borussia Mönchengladbach, both times in convincing fashion. But I think what we've seen is how Terzic's character has also been shown in the team. And that is to uplift every single individual, not just across the team, but also in the squad, those who don't make the match day squad. And I think that him having been such an integral part of Slaven Bilic's time at West Ham, for example, or indeed working as a scout under Jurgen Klopp and as an assistant coach to Lucien Favre earlier this season and before that, before then taking on the top job. I think that he's picked up so much during his time just watching on that he's really been able to implement that as he's become the head coach now. And how. What a special human being he is, let alone a coach. And whoever's club's colours they are wearing, that is what everyone says about Edin Terzic, regardless if it's Mainz or Schalke.
Do you think he's comfortable then going back to an assistant coach role next season, Archie?
He's difficult to read because he is the most diplomatic person I think I've encountered in terms of the Bundesliga. He doesn't give much away in that sense. I think that he would be very valuable to Marco Rosa. The question is, there are high-profile jobs opening up in the Bundesliga at the likes of Bayer Leverkusen and Eintracht Frankfurt. Those are good opportunities. You think, though, if Edin Terzic sticks around, that maybe one day that Dortmund job, if that comes up again anytime soon, should it not work out for Marco Rosa, he's going to be the first name on the list for the Dortmund hierarchy, particularly because he has that connection to the club. That was so important for Jurgen Klopp. He built that connection, sure. But Edin Terzic grew up near Dortmund. He was always a fan. There's been this picture which has gone viral of him at the 2012 DFB Cup final there as a fan. And I think that element is very important because it was lost with the likes of Thomas Tuchel and Lucien Favre, even Peter Boss, since Jurgen Klopp's long shadow has been cast since leaving the club.
So, Archie, Erling Haaland staying now. Is that it? We never have to speak about him leaving Dortmund again?
I hope so, Dan. it's a real boon for us that we continue to have this chance to watch him in the Bundesliga. I'm very excited about that prospect, but I think that now that they have Champions League football, there is that clause, of course, for him to leave the club next summer. Mm. Unless Dortmund get a very silly offer this summer, I can't see Haaland leaving Dortmund now.
Is that the right move for him, do you think, Casey? Or non-move, in fact?
Well, I'm don't necessarily agree with Archie. I think Dortmund's going to cash out because they know the get out clause is going to be significantly less than what they could make this year. I think the only thing that's going to change that is if Raiola and his agent and Haaland's father himself just decide, look, here's what we can do. We can do a deal with another club that says, look, we might have to pay 100, 120 million this year. We pay you 40 million next year, and you take 30 million for yourself. That's the only way that he stays at Dortmund. Otherwise, Dortmund understand they lose a bunch of money if they don't sell him this year and wait for that release clause. I think obviously the Jadon Sancho situation comes into play as well. If they can make a bunch of money with Sancho, that could maybe keep Haaland there. But I think business will rule, and both of them will be sold for a bunch of money.
Meanwhile,
I'm just not sure the money is there right now for those top clubs to pay that kind of money for Erling Haaland. Barcelona certainly don't have that money, or if they do, then they will be going under in the next few years. Real Madrid, I'm not sure that they're willing to give that kind of money out right now either. And those are not the noises you're necessarily hearing from the Premier League, particularly in this environment. I mean, that said, look at what Manchester City and Chelsea spent last summer. So it's difficult, I think, to see Dortmund's ideals being met or in terms of financial sums there. But let's see.
Meanwhile, away from Borussia Dortmund, of course, the big story, Lewandowski matching Gerd Müller's all-time goal-scoring record in a season. 40 so far this campaign, with one game remaining. Of course, Casey, if you were still in the Bundesliga, no way he'd get anywhere near 40.
Well, everybody felt that way, but Lewandowski's been a special player for many years. And, you know, to have the support cast that he has around him, to be able to do what he's done, I think obviously if he hadn't had the injury issue, he would have broken it by a mile. But even saying that, the other day, he missed two or three chances that he scores in his sleep to break the record after he scored the penalty. So, you know, it'll be interesting to see. But I think on that final day, he scores at least two goals and breaks it.
You agree, Archie?
Yeah, Augsburg don't have much to play for now that everything is settled. Even if Augsburg did have something to play for, I still think that Robert Lewandowski would probably be scoring more than one goal on that final day. So, yeah, it was a lovely touch, by the way, the guard of honour that his teammates did for him. Thomas Müller was saying to the Bundesliga World Feed that actually they all came up with that on the bus just secretly whilst not telling Lewandowski. And you could tell because Lewandowski looked a bit surprised about, hang on, what's everyone doing here? So that was a nice touch, as was Lewandowski's T-shirt in tribute to Gerd Müller as well. I thought that was a classy move. But yeah, now he needs to go and score 40 plus one.
Before we let you go, what's going on, Archie? Who is? Why is that Trapattoni behind? Why have you got a cardboard cutout of Trapattoni? And is it a coffee maker?
No. It's fizzy water.
Oh, like a soda stream.
Sparkling. Yeah. Wait, hang on. I don't think you've got a good enough shot then. There you go.
Why is he there?
Why not?
Why not? Did somebody give you a cardboard cutout of Trapattoni you thought the good thing would be to have on the show with you?
No, I paid €25 for that.
Archie, what are you doing with your life?
Jurgen Klinsmann cost €10, by the way. You need to ask him about that.
Wow. Oh, right. That's it. Are you going to expense that? Is that why?
Oh, yeah. I will be expensing that.
Yeah, goodness. Great. What a waste of your expenses. Thank you very much, guys. Just a reminder, you can subscribe to ESPN FC over on our YouTube channel. Plenty of content there for you to enjoy. Haaland, De Bruyne, Stevie and Shepherd Spy, Shaka and Naps, all great teammates. But what's the perfect teammate for growing your business? Well, that's Shopify. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. Shopify makes it easy for you to show up exactly the way you want to.
customize your online store to your style with gorgeous, flexible templates and powerful tools. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Plus, Shopify's extensive help resources are there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/FC. That's all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/FC now to grow your business no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/FC.
Passion, drive and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights and more. Whether you're into speed, power or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Swansea very much in the driving seat for that second leg on Saturday. Also Brentford-Bournemouth on Saturday as well. Don and Stevie are back. They were focusing on these games. Don, I know you saw Bournemouth against Brentford.
I did. It was a good game. Chess match. I've played in three of these games, Dan. They're not easy, especially the first legs there. They're quite horrible to play in because there's so much riding on it. You never want to be too open in the first game. We're a little bit conservative. Bournemouth had a little bit more quality about them. The David Brooks pass was absolutely perfection. The weight of it was incredible. Good finish from Dan Juma. And as we saw there, Brentford had one or two chances in the second half. An absolute sitter missed with about 15 minutes to go. But this one's not over because it was a tense affair and it'll be a better game at Brentford.
Who's going through, Don?
I think Bournemouth just go through. I do. I think they've just got that little bit more quality. Wilshere came off the bench. He might be valuable if he starts the next game more. His experience come off the bench. I think they've just got enough.
Don described it quite nicely, Steve. It's all about not making mistakes, you feel, these ties. I know you saw Barnsley against Swansea.
Yeah, I mean, it doesn't help when Barnsley, to me, are a team that are all about pressuring the opposition, you know, putting the ball in their half and squeezing the life out of them. They're kind of high energy, to be honest. And Swansea, because of that high energy, didn't really get a chance to play. You know, Swansea are a football team. They like to get the ball down. They like to pass it around. They couldn't do that tonight. But yet they still have a difference maker in Andre Ayew, something that Barnsley don't have. Swansea, I think, in the second leg, will be able to calm the game down a little bit. Barnsley, no question. You know, we're talking about no fans. There was fans there in this game, and it made a huge difference to Barnsley. As I said, they're an up-and-at-them team, and that's why it helped them. But it didn't help them win the game. So, listen, I think this second leg will be a completely different ball game. It'll be a football game, and it'll be all Swansea.
So Swansea to go through for you, Stevie?
Yes, absolutely.
Don, do you concur?
I do concur. I think they're the best football inside. Ayew was the difference, but in the second half, they controlled the game. Swansea, they used all their quality, all their sort of Premier League nous, and I think they'll just have too much.
Great stuff, guys. As always, thank you very much. Just a reminder, you can download our daily podcast, which as always is available over on the website. Don and Stevie with me for Extra Time, which is on that as well. That's it then. That brings us to the end of today's show. Thank you very much for watching. We're all kind of hoping Harry Kane will go to PSG just to prove Don completely and utterly wrong. He was adamant. That is it, though. That brings us to the end of today's show. Be sure to join us tomorrow. We'll, of course, be looking back.
He doesn't like French
Leicester
football?
Against Chelsea. I don't think so. Till then, goodbye. Welcome into Extra Time. Thank you as always for your tweets. Ali with me in the studio. Stevie and Don with us as well. There's nothing more interesting than a story about either fantasy football and where people drop points or somebody's dreams. Oh. Fear not, though. Don tweets about it all. Loving it. What did you dream
about?
Weird
one.
A car seat with a vacuum, Don.
No, the other way round. I was on the Dragon's Den and I invented a Hoover with a car seat on. So obviously I was Hoover. Thinking, you know, for everyone out there who've got little kids, they could attach their child to a Hoover and you could do the hoovering while the child gets a sort of free ride.
Yeah, Hoover is a vacuum, by the way. Dragon's Den is Shark Tank in the UK, just so we can put all of that into context. Why are you wanting to context? It's terrible, boring. Don, you got to up your tweet game.
Oh, well, I've got to up my dream game as well, apparently.
No, don't. Nobody cares about anybody else's dreams. Would Kane make either Manchester United or Chelsea title contenders next season? Now, we've discussed this a lot during the show. So don't go down, well, he's not going there, or he shouldn't do this, or he'd do that. We've done all that. Now, Stevie, if he goes to Manchester United, does that make them title contenders?
Yes.
Don? Yeah.
Listen, they're in second place as it is. And with Harry Kane, they would, I would imagine they'd have way more points. So you'd have to say they're going to be competing. So yeah, 100%.
Don?
100%. He's going to guarantee you between 25 and 30 goals a season. It would give Chelsea and Man United a right chance.
Well, I would say that in regards to Manchester United, they do have Edinson Cavani in place.
Right.
And I know that at this point in his career, Harry Kane is a better player, more productive player than Edinson Cavani, but is he exponentially better to the point that that means the title all by himself, just him being part of that team? I think Manchester United needs to add a lot more pieces. As for Chelsea, I would suggest that if you look at what they're missing, it is indeed a striker. A real striker. A striker that is trusted and a striker that is going to score goals.
I thought you said you didn't want any stories.
No, I didn't want any stories.
You don't want any stories. I mean, Don tell you what, yes. And Ali gives you another one of Don's dreams.
No, but it's not Ali's dream that Manchester United are going to win the title with Harry Kane. He's giving me
an answer.
But you know what I meant. You're telling Don and I basically, look, don't want any nonsense, no stories.
Keep it short.
Does it make them better, yes or no?
No,
and then you sit and let Ali.
You weren't listening, Steve.
No, you
weren't listening. What I didn't want is a discussion about whether or not he was going to go to these clubs, because we've already done it. What I just wanted to know is whether or not it makes them title contenders. You could have given me a long answer. I would have accepted
that.
Well,
there you go.
I just didn't want you saying, well, he's not going to go to Chelsea, is he? So what's the point of discussing it? I just wanted to focus on that particular point.
Oh. Yeah. Are you finished?
Well, no, I'm just...
You interrupt
Ali's story to shout at him.
I'm not finished, but apparently, according to you, I am finished.
Well,
so go ahead,
Stevie.
Dan.
I know. I don't know what's wrong with Stevie today. That's not
very
right.
Very hungry. Very hungry.
Don, what goes on in a player's mind when they are linked to a various clubs by the media?
One of excitement. One of your ego getting massaged. Players are talking about it in the dress room. Are you staying? Are you going? Gives you a bit of confidence, especially when a big club is rumoured to be interested in you, depending on the manager. If it's a big name manager as well, it gives you a little bit more confidence, a little bit more arrogance.
Wow.
But you know in the back of your mind if it's true or not. You'll be on the phone to your agent that afternoon. Is there any truth in that? Yes or no? No, it's just paper talk, nothing in it whatsoever. Then you brush it aside. It was nice while it lasted. If there's some truth in it, then you'll carry that confidence for a few days.
Like, for example, see, when Ian Rush went to Italy, how much is that discussed in the locker room beforehand?
Never discussed it.
Never?
Once. Never.
Wow.
Even when we're out, somebody would have had one too many and would kind of half bring it up. And then Rushy would just completely blank it.
So it's almost like
pretty much nothing.
It's a no-go area. It's almost an unwritten rule. You don't talk about it.
Yeah, it's like contracts. You know, players won't talk about how much they're getting or how long the contract is. Certainly didn't in my time. I'm pretty sure it would be the same in Don's. It was just a kind of a no-go area.
So, but Don says that when he would tell everyone and just be arrogant and be Iggy Odor around the locker room, Stevie.
No, I got linked with Chelsea when I was at Sunderland. I scored a couple of goals against Chelsea. We beat them 4-2, and the papers up in the northeast were all about Ranieri and Chelsea wanting to sign me. And the dressing room was full of talk for the next couple of days. It was like, yeah, amazing. Oh. I've just scored a couple of goals against Chelsea. Ranieri wants to sign me.
Who was starting this talk?
Whoa.
Have you seen the newspaper today? Yeah. Look at this.
Well, no, you can't get away. You can't get away from the local newspapers. They're in and around the training ground. When you train, there's loads of newspapers all lying all around the place. You just sort of get flattened.
I've been talking to reporters around the training ground. They're all talking about me.
Here you go, lads. Here's 20 newspapers to read today.
Yep.
Keep your eyes on those.
Look at the headline. But, Stevie, this is very different to your environment.
Aye, absolutely. Yeah, I mean, it just wouldn't happen. It wouldn't be mentioned.
Don't.
And if any of them was, on the odd occasion, it would be to absolutely tear you apart and take the mick out of you. There'd be nothing serious about it whatsoever. You would get absolutely slaughtered.
I can tell you now, the dressing rooms are full of chit-chat. Oh. Players talk every single day. Every single day players are chatting.
You know how Don was talking about the arrogance when you feel like you're making a big jump and you're going to big club or whatever? What if you have been in the opposite side of that? What if it's not that you're going to a big club? What if there is conversation that they want to get rid of you?
Yeah.
Maybe.
Maybe
you hear those same newspapers saying, they don't want you around here. Do you know that? Do you know that? That's also full of chit-chat right there. And it doesn't make you feel good as a player.
No, I bet your ego goes,
ego goes the opposite direction.
Oh, dear, don't worry. Don will cheer you up like newspaper clippings. Ali, what are the chances of Atleti losing to Valladolid and Real Madrid beating Villarreal? Of course, if that happens, Real Madrid will be champions.
Yeah, I've seen too many things go the way of Atletico Madrid late in the season. It feels like if they were going to lose this, they would have done it already, and they have survived so far. I think they'll survive once again Valladolid. It won't be dominant. It won't be 3-0. It won't be so easy that they're just going to kind of be essentially raising the trophy as the game goes on. But in a very Atletico Madrid way, they're going to find a way to win it in the end.
Stevie, do you think Liverpool's attack will return to its best once the defence line comes back from injury next season?
Yes, I think it'll take a step up from where it is. Whether it gets back to its scintillating best that it was, 12, 18 months ago, I don't know about that. But there's no question that they're going to end up at the start of next year being better than they are right now. That's for sure.
Ali, do you think Xavi is capable enough to manage Barcelona, or is it too early, and is it enough to convince Messi to stay? Mm. He's just signed new contracts, hasn't he?
Well, yes. And these are two separate questions.
Yep.
The Messi question is, individually, it will have nothing to do with whether Xavi is the coach or not. He's going to make this decision based on what he wants to do. Now, as it pertains to Xavi, I suppose... people sort of are equating this to Pirlo coming to Juventus, and I think there's a difference here. Xavi has actually managed a team. Now, whatever you may think of him managing in Qatar, that's a whole different story, but he has managed a professional team, and there's some experience there that Pirlo did not have. And so, I suppose if you're moving away from Ronald Koeman, Xavi may be the answer in terms of being the guy that people would relate to in Barcelona, given his history with the club.
Ali, what's the biggest apology you've had to give for missing a big chance?
Well, I have missed many chances, big and small. I don't remember apologizing for any of them.
Okay.
It's part of the game. It's not what you want to do. You feel terrible about it, but you don't go as far as to apologize for it. There are certain things in the game that you come to accept, and one of those is the fact that you're going to miss opportunities.
Don, did you ever feel the need to apologize to your teammates?
Yeah, absolutely. Not missing chances, but in my, I think, 6 red cards that I had. So when you feel as though you've let the side down and you've left your teammates in the lurch and they've lost the game and you're sitting inside the dressing room and you've let your mates down, you've let the manager down, the fans down, you feel terrible. So as soon as the team comes in, if you've lost the game, you've got to be brave enough to hold your hands up before the manager delivers his team talk and just say, listen, Gaffer, that was all my fault. I let you down. I'm sorry. Won't happen again.
Have you ever been in a situation where you felt...
Dan.
Yeah, go on, Stevie.
The worst apology that you ever have to make as a player, I think, is just after you've given one of your teammates what was called a hospital ball.
Right.
And he got absolutely nailed.
So how would you describe a hospital ball, Stevie?
Well, it's basically a ball that your teammate has to go for, but it's such a bad pass that the opposition is 60-40 in their favour. And as I said, back in the 80s, that wasn't good news for the guy on the 40%. Because he was getting it big time.
And you had to apologise, well, you would apologise for that, Stevie?
Oh, absolutely, aye. Yeah. Yeah, nothing else. You don't apologise for. Listen, you make mistakes.
Right.
Didn't we chances and things like that, but giving somebody a hospital ball is the real one you want to avoid.
Did you say my bad? Because I know you love that expression, Stevie.
Oh, that drives me mental.
Doesn't cost for much when you're lying on a stretcher, though, does it? Sorry about that.
Don, have you ever felt that a teammate should have apologised but didn't?
Nah, probably, but I can't think of any off the top of my head. You've just got to get on with it, Dan. It's not like, oh, I'm really sorry. I give you a hospital ball. Oh, I'm really sorry. It's a game, man. Just get on with it. Roll your sleeves up and roll with the punches.
Six red cards is quite a lot, Don.
Nice. Well, violent. Wow. Violent conduct.
Issues.
Mm-hmm. A lot of issues.
issues.
Stevie, was Celtic beating Barcelona the greatest moment of Scottish football?
What?
That's what we're talking about, yes.
No! Rangers winning the Cup Winners' Cup in the 70s was better than Celtic beating Barcelona.
Right.
Remember that?
Yeah, no, that's true. But then Celtic did do something better than that, didn't they, Stevie?
You might be correct.
Yes. Don, for you, what's the greatest moment of Scottish football?
My good friend Steven Gerrard going invincible this season. What an absolute triumph that was.
That eclipses any European glory that maybe another Glasgow club had in the past.
Oh, I can't remember that far back then. I know they've won European Cups and stuff, but no, I don't know, mate. I was loving life watching Rangers win at the weekend. I was loving it.
The anti-Celtic bias. What happened to your camera there, Don?
I don't know. It was on a little... Yeah. It just twizzled away there.
Yeah. Even the camera didn't believe him.
No, that's it. Right, we are absolutely done.
Oh, hey, hello.
Thank you very much, everyone who has been on. We will be back tomorrow for more to reflect on Chelsea against Leicester. Ooh.